Read the this is the IMDb trivia for the monkey that plays Ella.
Yeah.
Just read that. Read the trivia.
Okay, hold on. I'm gonna pull it up. What is this? The internet?
That is awesome. Oh my gosh, that is awesome.
Actor
trivia. It's a monkey.
It's a monkey.
Okay. See, I finally figured it out, Alan. Every 3 days that I stay awake, I gain 24 hours. That's 122 days every year. So, well, even if I die at 50, I will have lived 65 years.
You killed my boogie. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This here is Film Sack, episode 129. This is the podcast that mines the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind and womankind, too. Come on now. Don't worry about it. We got both sides covered. And today is no exception. I'm Scott Johnson, and joining me tonight, Brian Monkey Phone Dialing Services LLC Dunaway.
Oh, man. Sorry to hear about your paralysis. Here's a funny car with a kangaroo on it.
Oh my gosh, no joke. That is not a joke. That is in the film.
Nice job. Also with us, Randy Stanley Tucci, more like Stanley Douchey, Jordan.
Aloha, Brian. Scott, Brian. Mm. This week on Film Sack, we're reminded that quadriplegics can make great sex partners as long as you're willing to run the risk of suffocating them, since in that position, a quadriplegic can't tap you to let you know to pull up off his face. Also, whoa. Monkeys.
Whoa, you did mention that scene. You got all down in that bit. You'd have to see it to know, folks. Finally,
the rest of us can like tap out, right?
Yeah,
like,
oh, yeah. We're done now. Right. Brian, lick my blood, monkey. Lick it!
Ibbit.
So, hey, thanks for telling me that no monkeys were hurt at the beginning of this film. Do magicians come out before their show and say, oh, it's going to look like I'm going to saw a lady in half, but it's not real?
Ooh, I love that part.
You got your intro from the first text that hits the screen. That's great.
Well, that was my alternate.
Did you notice that statement at the beginning of the film did not say no budgies were hurt in the making of this film?
That looked like a dead bird to me, dude.
That was absolutely a real dead budgie.
That was not a special effect.
That was either a dead bird or a drugged bird. I don't know which, but it was flopping around dead. Romero did not have the budget.
You put a parakeet in a slipper for a little while, they'll pass out.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that is so awful.
Pro tip. Well, great. It's a Monkey Shines, and we'll get all up in why we picked this movie and why we think it's good, because I think it's great. I think this is one of the best Film Sack movies we've done. It's not a movie I'd ever watch otherwise, but it's great for our show, so I'm stoked to talk about it. Let's let Scott Fletcher explain more.
Monkey Shines. Quadriplegic law student Alan Mann, played by Jason Bugge, gets in-home care from Ella, a super smart monkey injected with human brain tissue. Initially, it's a dynamite relationship, until she starts anticipating Alan's thoughts and acting out his subconscious desires. Horror veteran George Romero wrote and directed this 1988 chiller, which co-stars Joyce Van Patten, Stanley Tucci, and Janine Turner.
Northern exposure. You can expose my northern anytime there, Janine Turner.
I've always read that last name as Behe, right? He's Jason Behe. Bang.
Sure. I don't even know who he is. I know now, but
we haven't seen him in anything else.
No, not that I know.
And he was actually not that bad, so I don't know what happened.
He's all right.
Jason Behe.
His stuff he does now is weird. But we explained this last week, so I don't want to get into it too much. But just so people understand, this movie has a really weird place for me. this symbol monkey that Ibbot calls them symbol monkeys. I guess that's what they're called.
symbol monkeys.
He's sitting on the front of this cover art. And for years and years and years as a teenager, I would walk into my local video stores and I'd see this thing just looming there. And there's something about that monkey that completely freaks me out. It would not surprise me if we could get into the head of John Lasseter himself that he didn't say that the symbol monkey in Toy Story 3 was not at least in part inspired by this freakish VHS cover. Yeah. It's such a weird thing.
It's weird because this film, the only monkeys in this film are capuchins.
Yeah.
And the cover has basically a toy monkey, right? Mm-hmm. The poster you're talking about is a toy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But still and weird and ominous.
There's no toy in the film, but there's no reference to like, oh, okay, a toy because, you know, it's a model or it's a wind-up. It's like they said, we couldn't really get a budget to get the monkey back over here to take photos for the poster. Bill, how about just grab that thing right there? Yeah, let's set that up.
It's a little bit weird, though, that I can tell you guys after 23, 24 years later, knowing that I always, when I was there, I was like, I want to see that. I don't know what that is, but I want to see what that is. And at the time, I didn't get the Shines thing. It's the Shining. It's the same idea. You can tap into other people's brains and whatever.
It's so lightly handled, that part of it. It's almost non-existent.
Yeah, it's almost not even part of the story. But it's so weird that like that many years ago, I said to myself, one day I need to watch this freaking thing, and I don't know when that's going to be. Suddenly, finally, all these years later, we have a reason to watch it. It's really, I'm having a weird thing with that. Just kind of a strange nostalgia slash, I don't know. I want to do this more. I want to find what each of us has as some looming strange film from the past that we never saw, and then we catch it on this show.
I like it. And to just really drive it home, this film starts with first shot nudity.
Opening shot.
Right out of the gate, we get to see Janine Turner's butt.
Well, yeah, her side butt.
Side butt and
sort side of boob. Side smash boob.
Both kind of like this. All right, a naked lady. Oh, no, a naked man.
Right. doing exercises.
Yeah, doing his stretches.
Jason Behe, we're going to call. I don't know how to. But anyway, in incredible shape for this film.
Oh, yeah, he looked great.
Oh, yeah.
Well, like he was running around with ankle weights, wrist weights, and bricks on his back.
Bricks in his backpack. Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot that's where the bricks came from when he got hit by the car.
Yeah,
it just didn't occur to me.
How
like,
difficult it is to jump on a trampoline with about five bricks. Right. So not fun.
And then have him go flying, and who's going to get hurt? Man, George Romero just living out the dangerous dream there. But this is Romero's first film since 85's Dawn of the Dead, which is it Dawn of the Dead? Day of the Dead, sorry.
Yeah.
And Day of the Dead was the 80s one that some people aren't sure about. Some people think it's the best thing ever. Some people aren't sure about it. I think it's the thing we need to do on the
show. When you imagine what George Romero looks like in your brain, are you able to separate that from Stan Lee?
No, they're kind of the same guy. Okay. Or at the very least, they have the same prescription is what I think.
Zombie Man.
Sorry, what?
On the topic of which, of course, this was, that's known because of Wikipedia, but this was his first one into the mainstream filmmaking. And after this is like, forget it, I'm out.
First studio movie, right?
Right. First studio movie is like, nope, not doing that
again.
He
didn't like it. Yeah. According to everything I've read, he went off to do more of his own thing. And he never quite stopped. I mean, he's still making dead movies.
Oh, yeah.
At his age now, which is what, 104?
Now he can really relate.
Son of the night of the battle for the
diary of the land of the survival.
It's a bit much. You could say he's in danger of destroying the brand, or you could even say he's long done that already. But what was the one that had Dennis Hopper in it? It was all right. Was it Land of the Dead? That was pretty good. Well, it's kind of recent, like in the last decade.
Okay,
Survival of the Dead, Diary of the Dead.
Land of the Dead. Yes, Land of the Dead had Dennis Hopper, Simon Baker.
Yeah.
John Leguizamo.
That's a good movie, guys. It's worth seeing. It's worth seeing. I think, anyway. I thought it was better than most of the other trash he's done, because some of the recent stuff, Diary, is ridiculously bad.
That's too bad.
But
the living dead have taken over the world, and the last humans lived in a walled city to protect themselves as they come to grips with the situation.
Yep. Yeah. And the zombies start learning how to use guns.
No,
like not it. In the way you'd think. Like, they're not good with them.
They're shooting themselves in the face.
They're good with guns.
They're basically stormtroopers.
Yeah, they're good with guns in the same way that my cat is good with a set of car keys. Like, they just kind of get it.
They're
not really going to drive the car, but yeah, they can move them around and fire aimlessly.
That's the best analogy ever.
is you need to see it. It's on the. It's in the
I
Netflix.
I want to see your cat with some car keys.
Okay. He's pretty good. Anyway, this is one of the few films in cinema history that used a male monkey. Most use female monkeys, and I couldn't find any information as to why.
Oh, they talk about that during the movie.
Is it temperament about or something? They talk about I don't remember that.
Yeah, but Bama said male monkeys can't be butlers. I mean, waiters or yeah, wherever they are.
I'm a little bugged by the fact that there's one monkey credited for this thing when there's no doubt in my mind that two different monkeys were used for that role.
No, I didn't. I wasn't paying that kind of attention, but I was impressed with the monkey itself. I was
there's no doubt in my mind because from one shot to the next, the monkey goes from having a freaking pot belly to being a normal skinny capuchin monkey.
Yeah, I didn't notice that, but you're probably right.
That was his stand-in. I mean, you don't get credit for stand-in. I mean, come on.
The best ones were the close-ups of the hand with the match or something.
Right.
Like a plastic
maybe
hand.
Exactly.
A little bit of hair glued on it.
Crap. You know what?
I can't tell you how long it took me to train some of my old girlfriends on how to put a tape in the tape deck. You put it with the tape side. Tapes. Turn it over. No, flip it upside down.
It's on reverse. Oh, you stupid ass monkey. Get out of the way. Oh, wait, I can't. I'm in this wheelchair.
You know, I watched The Hangover over the weekend as well. Hangover 2.
How was that?
It was fine, but it's just funny because I keep getting that movie mixed up with this movie. Because
you can't do that. You can't watch two of these in a row, dude.
I get the monkey parts mixed up because the monkey is smoking. He actually smokes a cigarette, and this monkey does drugs. So, you know, is it a gateway thing?
Mainline's yellow.
I love it. You can't keep your monkey parts straight.
From now on, I'm going to think of the monkey in Monkey Shines as Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe it was. Who knows? Early role.
No. Jason Biggie had the Zach Galifianakis beard going on at the beginning of this film.
Oh, dude. We'll talk about that beard.
Apparently he's in the hospital that doesn't have any razors or shaving cream.
Romero's sitting around going, let's see. For now, he's going to talk like Stan Lee. He's going to sit around going, you know what we need? We need to make it look like a guy who used to be everything and now he's depressed. So what do we do with that? Well, how about we give him a beard that...
know that he's been in there for a long time.
How about we give him a beard that we borrowed from Kirk Douglas?
It's horrible.
Big, I love that
big
beard.
Big glued on. I could smell like the... What do they call that stuff? The glue?
The rubber cement or the... What do they call it?
Beautiful beard.
It's a name.
Rubber cement.
No, there's a name for it.
It's not beautiful.
It's a stage name.
Yes.
Face glue?
No. It's an actual name, you guys, and it's going to bug me that I don't know it.
Stage.
Gummy.
Something gum.
Oh, yeah.
Spirit gum.
Spirit gum. It's always sounded like actual gum to me, so I always forget. Spirit gum.
Spirit gum.
Sugar free.
Yes, we do.
Double
spirit gum. How about you?
Sorry.
I just did a cheer.
That's spirit gum.
This thing was weird. I didn't know this, and this is a little piece of trivia I dug up. In the 70s, George Romero did a documentary about O.J. Simpson called O.J. Simpson, Juice on the Loose.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I want to see that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a weird thing to get hired for.
Foreshadowing, yeah. Right.
Who we got to do our documentary? I don't know. Do you want to see if that zombie guy is available? Maybe he could do it. Like, that's a weird thing.
Can I mention a winner of the week for an interesting internet movie database photo? It's going to have to go to Tino Romero, who I'm assuming is some type of niece, nephew, something related. I'm going to post that real quickly.
Tina Romero. Yeah, send that around. It's got to be someone who's related to.
Yeah, she's interesting. Last time she's had an update for her trivia. Lives in New York City. She is finishing up her second year graduate film school at NYU's Tisch School of the Arts. Last updated 2008.
Let's take a look at that. Let me just see this woman.
It's a great photo.
This is the boo link. Hold on.
You went to look at the monkey.
Yeah. Where is this, Brian? I don't see it.
Didn't I post it? Didn't I get in?
You didn't put it in.
I sent it just to Scott. You're welcome.
Oh, thanks a lot. Let's see what that looks like. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's got to be related. Yeah.
Got to be. And it looks like him, too.
She, you know what he could get her?
Holding up a little tea bag or something up there. Hey, everybody, look at my tea bag. Look at my tea bag.
Okay, anybody got a bra? No? Okay, no problem.
And everybody's clapping, too. She does have a tea bag, looks like. Well, I don't know what that is.
Good for her. Whoever she is. So essentially your synopsis. And I didn't know Romero did other movies. I thought it was all zombies. So this was new to me, even though this thing had been in my head for 20 something plus years. But I had no idea he had other stuff. Immediately I'm presented with a naked dude wiener scene where he's stretching. I don't think I'm supposed to laugh.
You don't see anything there.
You don't, but I'm laughing at
it. Pretty impressive. Yeah.
I'm laughing at that. And, yeah. And the reason I'm laughing is I'm thinking, I don't want to get in what I think it's. There's something about a dude spread eagle on a floor stretching yeah. that makes me worry about the carpet. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
That's so oh, like weird. A mark or something.
I didn't even think of that.
I didn't either. I was just like, I just thought the music was weird.
Because you're stretching just so weird. And you're tensing down and you're.
Yeah. And hey, Skitty over there. You want to come clean exactly. this up?
Get up here.
Why is the monkey so fixated on that section of the exercise room?
Right.
Why is he digging a hole right there in the middle of the carpet? What's going on? But then he runs off and he's doing his thing and they're playing music from the worst possible soundtrack of all time ever made. And right. he's jogging around. He's high-fiving strangers and just, you know, he used to be a track star and all this. Then he gets hit by a car. Now, people... what?
The dog.
Oh.
When he comes running out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
true. That's what leads to the car accident.
So the car thing happens. He gets hit by this car. It's a terrible thing. Nobody should be hit by a car. It's a horrible thing. But I know I'm not wasn't supposed to, but I laughed uncontrollably.
Well, the way they presented it was so stupid.
Yeah.
What they did was they had him run along and then they had him jump to his left, mm-hmm. like
on
with his
tramp.
Throwing his hands up. As though he was jumping away from a dog.
Yeah.
And all the camera did was spin around to the front of a parked truck.
Yep.
Right. That's it.
Right. That's what
makes the whole scene.
But then they showed him spinning, like doing a pirouette in the air off of a trampoline with a bunch of bricks.
Right. And a bunch of bricks crashing down on the ground.
I laughed. I honestly had to pause the movie. Yeah. I was laughing. I don't think I was supposed to. And I felt kind of bad about it. But
No. It was actually a brilliant piece of cinematography. But this for some reason...
No, it wasn't. It was terrible.
I don't know if it was the timing of it. I think the timing of it was the problem.
Did that truck have a cow catcher on the front that like propelled him upwards or something?
It was so close to him. It was so close.
I guess. It's just bad.
I was still laughing anyway from the opening scene where he comes out to his front of his apartment and he's breathing the fresh air that is hobos and trains and dead druggies and everything else.
Right. Seemed to really be taking that in, didn't he?
Right.
Lots of great actors on this thing. Stanley Tucci.
Yeah.
Respected. He's the second time, by the way, on the show. He was on The Core. Remember that?
Right, mm-hmm. right. Didn't have any fancy hair in this one at all.
But he did get
naked. He had more hair.
Right.
Yeah, way more hair. Steven Root, everyone's favorite. Just give me my stapler. That guy.
Right. Everybody's favorite weirdo.
Yeah. News radio.
Is great on Justified, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, Justified.
That judge on Justified is fantastic on there.
Yes.
Yeah. Steven Root. You know where he really freaked me out, though? Anybody watching Louie at all? Seen the Louie series?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Sure.
Some of it, yeah. Season one, he's this dentist Louie goes to try out.
He basically rapes Louie.
Yeah, and I've never really been able to look at him quite the same since. Yeah. That was really disturbing, that episode, which that whole series is somewhat disturbing. It's like art house that's funny. It's really weird.
It's a push the boundaries comedy.
Yeah. I don't even know if I'd call it a comedy. I would call it funny art house. Comedy. I'd call it funny. Comedy. I would call it experimental indie film that's funny. That's what I'd call it. Because they do weird. Man, it's weird. But he's great on that. He was great on... the only character I actually ever liked, with the exception of a couple of the naked ones, on True Blood. He was great on True Blood.
Oh, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. He was the human that Sookie's brother and his girlfriend, Lizzie Kaplan.
Yeah, Lizzie Kaplan.
Start training for blood, yeah.
I also like her.
Yeah.
But I really don't like anyone else on that show.
Sucker.
They all bug me. Sucker. We talked about Jeanine Turner, Northern Exposure. Anyone have I kind of had a weird little... thing of her for a while.
Oh yeah, yeah, oh, absolutely. Sorry. She's cute.
Yeah, short hair,
little mole up by the eye.
It's a weird character she's playing in this film.
Fleischman, I'm not flying you back to Anchorage, Fleischman. I can hear it in my head right now. Sorry, what, Randy? You were saying
she plays a weird character in this film.
Yeah, small too and short.
Everybody plays a weird character in this film.
Her job is to be his girlfriend at the beginning and to be naked, and then he gets an accident and has. Broken neck and everything, and she never visits him. This character doesn't go to the hospital to see him.
Right.
So essentially, she breaks up with him in absentia.
Yeah.
And then she immediately starts dating the doctor that operated on him.
Right. And okay, here's a question: why did that? This may blow something I had later for the show, but why did the doctor come to the house? Like, when did that start? Are they old friends or something? Was it?
No. He just, you know, he's the doctor who saved his life. And
do they do that now
through incompetence?
No,
they don't do this.
I don't think it's like a regular thing. No. But I'm sure he had to pick up some of his stuff from his girlfriend.
That's what I'm thinking. It would probably be unusual.
All right.
But then again, his mom is supposed to be super rich, so she may be hobnobbing with the doctor. Oh, so it's maybe a family friend or something.
Could be. Yeah, could be.
That's just weird that he's just hanging around the house. Hey, what's going on? Picks up on the girl.
The way you phrase it, you just make it sound like, you know, she leaves him because
you make
he's
it sound
broken and then starts dating the doctor. I think she's dating the doctor during that whole time he's grown Galifianakis beard.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
But then she would be at the hospital a lot and she could have visited. Huh.
Well, that doesn't make sense. Who knows? So maybe she was another part of the hospital. I don't know what was going on there, but that just weirded me out. Also, Stanley Tucci's pretty small role for him, but this is kind of before his, you know, his big splash, I think, or whatever. By the way, if you really want to see Stanley Tucci at, I believe, his finest, you want to see him in, The Terminal. He's great in The Terminal.
Tom Hanks is the deported.
Yeah, it's Lodka, basically.
Recommend Stanley Tucci in anything other than The Devil Wears Prada. He's amazing in that film.
I still haven't seen it.
I was thinking Big Night with Tony Shalhoub.
Is that where they cook?
Yeah.
Two brothers. I've heard that's good too.
Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get him and the guy who does the paper thing from Waterworld. I get them. They almost have the same
paper,
attitude.
That guy?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that guy. Oh, by the way, I did my yearly watching, you guys. I watched Waterworld. Yep. Holds up. Still awesome. Okay. Still terrible and great.
In case you're wondering.
Yeah, still pees on a tree. Still drinks from this pee on tree. It's fantastic. Go watch it. See it today. See Denver as it was meant to be seen, underwater. It's great. we haven't gotten really into the core of this, which is, and I was really impressed. There's a swath in the movie, a certain period of time, where I am completely enamored with that monkey and I want one for myself.
I want a helper monkey so bad.
They're so cute and they're so, I don't know, just... There's something that's always been true of that monkey, even the one that ate the date in Indiana Jones and died. They're always great. And I just love that little monkey. But man, it takes a turn and he starts killing. Here's the problem.
Yeah.
There is not a killing till way too late. And the first killings are stupid because you don't see anything.
Well, the first killing's a budgie.
Well, that's true. So that's all right. But then I thought the maid was going next. And she never got killed.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Oh, she left on her own accord.
She just left.
Another one of those things, though, where somebody completely disappears from a film and it's never really, like, they never give you a final thing, like a resolution on the character.
It's another chick in the bucket. You know what? Yeah. This is the new term for it.
Chick in the bucket.
Chick in the bucket. Right. Thank you, Wild Wild West. It's the only thing we got out of you. But you're right. She just kind of quit and leaves. And she was target number one to die first. You were talking traditional horror, unless George Romero said, I'm not going to do what they expect me to do, then maybe that's what happened.
That's the thing. Yeah. I mean, if she would have gone first, would he have said, oh, it's so predictable that, you know, the maid is all, you know, treating him bad. Yeah. And then she's the first death. Would we have just complained that it was predictable?
Maybe I'm the reason I'm complaining is I wanted more death sooner and there wasn't enough. Yeah. This is the kind of movie that needed that monkey picking people off left and right all through the movie.
Do you think was the chemical deal, was that absolutely, do you feel that it was absolutely necessary to the plot? I mean, could they have explained supernaturally that the monkey is developing this connection with them without having?
Yes. Because either way, it's hanky or janky. So why even have that? That didn't help it.
No.
It just because they're look, if you put a little brain juice in people or in monkeys, somehow they'll have kinetic power or freaking whatever you call it, you know, brain to brain shining
telekinesis.
That's the word I was looking for the whole time.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you keep bringing out syringes filled with green stuff or white stuff or whatever, then you make me think about it. You make me wonder how is that working,
right?
You know,
yeah. Quit reminding us.
It's easier to just kind of hand wave. I probably don't have as much of a problem.
Or have it, you know, even go something like attach the two together and have the monkey and the man tied to the two head helmet things. that have like wires. You know what I mean?
They both touch a crystal skull and wish they had the other person's life at the same time.
You're making this movie worse than it needs to be.
You know what I'm saying? Like a Freaky Friday kind
Lightning
of thing.
Lightning bolt shoots in the background. And
something like that would have been, at least it would have been more plausible.
You know, I think this works, and I'll tell you why. Because I think the torture is required of experimentation is required for the monkey, and I think that intensifies this whole thriller. And I like the fact that the murders don't come until towards the end, because you're always threatened, and it's always building and building. And I think Romero did a fantastic job with this film.
You think so? I don't know. There are parts where I just went, this is, but don't get me wrong. Again, this is all through the looking eyeglass of this is great for FilmSack. Like, right. I want to see more of these. This to me is like when we were in our little Freddy phase or Jason phase. We're watching those movies. Like, I want to get more of that going on anyway, generally. But this just was a great return to, you know, earnest filmmaking that just has earned a little bit of cheese over time.
I think the biggest amount of cheese in this movie is the fact that it's so dated. Mm. Even though this is in 88, mm-hmm. it felt like it was made like maybe 78 or something. I mean, it has a very conservative, dated feel to it. But overall, I think I thought it was fantastic.
I haven't heard the C word in a while.
No, clinical.
Clinical C.
Clinical C.
Yeah. Clinical C, yo. What up, G? Funky Money? Yeah,
That was kind of out of the blue, but George Romero has like no real direction as far as what earns the R rating, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you got an R rating, but he doesn't go too far with the nudity. The nudity is kind of just off shot, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The cursing, there's plenty of cursing, but it's not like, you know, like they use the C word over and over and over. They used it once.
Yeah. And it hits you hard,
it's just
too.
The use of blood probably is the only thing, and it's not really that bloody a movie, but
nope.
Trim about 6 F-bombs and maybe the sex scene, the one other scene. If you got rid of that, you'd be PG-13 today. There was nothing here that violence-wise and blood-wise.
It could be remade PG-13. Yeah. I would say it'd be a lot of editing to make this movie PG-13.
Yeah, the beard guy was swearing a lot. He had no problem letting that.
But he was angry, so he needed to be. But I didn't think he swore so much. I mean, if I was, you know, and my mom had to come give me sponge bass, I might would cuss too a little bit.
You know what
My wife leaves me. I'm at the, you know, just disposal of a monkey. Yeah.
The most empathy I had, I think, in the entire film was for that rat that was drowning. I felt really bad for that guy. Yeah. The Stephen Root putting
the
stuff.
He was treading water in that little thing. I felt. Go ahead.
I felt so sorry for the budgie. I felt like sorry for all the different monkeys. There were lots of shots of monkeys in cages being all stirred up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And you just know somebody went over there and made, you know, like hit a cymbal or something right in front of them. Which made me sad.
But the movie was very thick with the whole anti-animal testing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You could tell that they had kind of a bit of an agenda.
That actually made me laugh. I love anytime a movie when you got a bunch of people who are protesters, they're too chicken to do anything, but they're always willing to yell about two blocks down the street.
Right. Murderer!
Tomato. So I'm going to bring all these spray cans. We're going to write on the thing. You know, I'm going to bring a tomato just in case he shows
just
up.
Just in case. That's right. Let's see if we can bean that guy, the guy that talks to monkeys way too much. I liked, honestly, structurally, most of it. I just didn't like I just think there should have been more death. They should have been more grisly. Obviously, the best death was the monkey itself. That was fantastic.
Right. Yeah.
Bitten in the
We're jumping way ahead, but wow. Yeah. I didn't see that coming.
I didn't think they'd go that to those ends.
Animalistic.
I thought he might bite it, crank it, be done. But no. Whipping it back.
He goes rat terrier on that monkey.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. And he not only that, dude, think about this. He not only did just a complete gratuitous killing of that monkey the way he did it, but then when he finally flipped it to the left, it achieves the ultimate goal, which is to eject the tape.
Right. Mm-hmm. Perfect shot.
Yeah, which got the monkey over there in the first place. That
music. Finally, things are heading this way.
That's right. I can do everything I want now. All I need is a bunch of monkeys to throw at it. Need that book? Whee!
Yeah. And pages in the book?
Who needs a laser?
Another scene that I couldn't stop laughing in was like, so okay, so for fans who haven't watched the film, the maid that moves in is a total crank, and she's old, middle-aged, pissed off everything, and he hates her, and she doesn't like him, especially when the monkey comes around. And she has this budgie, this bird, and this bird is annoying him. And at one point, the bird just cannot stop flying over to him and landing on his face.
Which is totally cool. Like, if you've ever been around domesticated budgies, totally cool. Yeah. Like, the way it was shot and the way it was presented, it's supposed to be like a horror scene, like it's trying to peck his eyes out or something.
But in
reality, that budgie was just walking around on his face.
I haven't laughed that hard in a film sack movie in a very long time. I really love that.
We've got to give big props to Jason Behe, because I'll tell you, man, not moving your hands at all or arms at all while animals are around you and really close.
Surely a lot of that, he was strapped down. That's the only way you
would hope so, right?
Right. The only way you could not react with your limbs would be to be strapped down.
I would think so. And
which
he wasn't.
Make it even more horrific, which would be fantastic.
Yeah. And they captured some of that feeling of, you know, this must just be terrible to be so active and then not. Yeah. And they did an okay job of that. But as the movie went along, it quickly just sort of became, well, it became obvious to me that eventually he was going to get some feeling back. I didn't expect the total feel-good ending, though. I kind of thought the ending should have been when that monkey popped out of that guy's back. Alien style.
So back. Freaky.
That was awesome. That was maybe
I'm
my favorite
full of
bit.
Monkeys.
That wasn't a real monkey, though, right?
If you think about that as the pinnacle of horror in the film, right. It really did take this film until the very end to get scary.
Yeah, and it got, and that was scary. It jumped out and just, it was pretty freaky.
That was the Carrie thing. I mean, that was like, you know, where at the end of the film, Carrie's dead, and, you know, they're visiting her grave, and then all of a sudden a hand pops out of the grave like, oh, now we get into the horror. Thanks.
Or Jason reemerges, or his masks, a hand reaches out and pulls his mask under the water to start again, or or whatever. And I love that kind of crap. Like, that's awesome. But dream sequence done out. The mom sure knew how to ring a doorbell. Just kind of bugged me. Bing bong, 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 bing bong.
Mom was perfect, man. I mean,
she hated her so.
She was so. You're supposed to hate her.
I really hated her.
Just the acting, though. I was annoyed by the acting. I mean, I thought acting wise, everyone else was fairly decent. But every time she came on screen. Oh, how could you talk to me like that?
Yeah. She's like a Jewish mom. That's what she reminds me of. And I thought she played it perfect.
Yeah, she's all right. I was happy when she went.
I don't like that Melanie girl. She looks like Mike Lichtenland from the Brady Bunch with blonde hair.
I was happy when she got zapped. Sounds terrible.
Which time?
That's the thing. I'm feeling worse for the worse for the swimming rat than I do for her. Which time? That's true.
30 times she got electrocuted.
By the time that guy got up there, she was, you know.
Because she was dead the first time. And then he revived her. And then she died again.
Like jump pads or whatever.
I loved it.
What are those called? They're not jump pads.
Yeah. I like jump pads.
Jump pads are what you stand on and quake.
Electrocardiogram.
Okay,
defibrillator is what they're called.
Yeah.
I like what you call
jump
them.
Jump pads are good because that's how you get across the level in Quake 3 so you can shoot a guy with a rocket.
Clear.
Let's see. What else? We talked about that. The mom bathing her naked son was weird. That grosses
so fun.
Me out. You know, if we were all in that situation, it'd be great to have a mom who cared. I get that, but
right. And this is where it crosses over into Stephen King type horror, because you know, he always does that. He always takes
like Misery kind of thing.
He always takes something that's scary, like the one with Wahlberg was in it.
Wahlberg
his
was
brother.
In a Stephen King movie. Oh,
the Backstreet Boy.
Donnie Wahlberg.
Right. Dreamcatcher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where they have the poop scene where the with the toilet. I mean, because that's what this is. I mean, it's already scary enough that you're going through this scary ordeal, but he takes it even further than somebody trying to kill you or anything else. Just total humiliation and just total
helplessness.
Helplessness, right.
I actually thought going into this was a Stephen King film.
Yeah, I did too. That's funny you say that, because like, I thought so too.
My memory of this poster and so on, like,
exactly.
Pretty convinced.
Yeah. It's
has, surprised.
That's the vibe. The whole thing has a Stephen King vibe.
Yep.
There was actually a novel written by Michael Stewart.
This is based on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, Romero did the screenplay. So it's like all the Stephen King movies were back then. Fantastic books and source material, terrible films. Like, you know,
I don't know.
Give me an example. Give me an exception to the rule
that the book is that good.
But I love all Stephen King.
Well, that's true. But I mean, like, look at the Stephen King movie.
The horror stuff. I mean, you can't really throw Shawshank and
Stand By Me
in there. But yeah.
There's not a single Stephen King movie that I, or TV series or extended mini series that I will not watch.
I'll watch them. I'll watch them. And I love his books. Don't get me wrong. But I'm here to tell you that before the Shawshank era, most of that stuff, Pet Sematary is all right, I guess, but Maximum Overdrive and all that stuff is terrible.
We actually have Pet Sematary on our film sack list, but I'm telling
Pet
you.
Pet Sematary is so good, too.
It's a rare Stephen King-sourced film that's good, actually.
Yeah, that movie's kind of scary, as I recall. We haven't seen it in a long time.
I can tell, like, we're going to argue about this.
I'm not discouraging you from wanting to watch, you know, The Shining when you come across it, but I'm just saying that, like, there's the Shawshank Redemption, and there's a Green Mile, and there's a lot of crap.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like he was just giving the keys to the wrong people or something. Didn't care back then. But, man, if they don't do Dark Tower right, I'm going to be so sad.
Right.
Just go ahead and snort for no reason.
Y'all, so y'all telling me that Lawnmower Man was not good?
No.
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 All right. No.
It's one of the worst movies
I've
ever made.
I got to go.
Hey, FYI, the book, the Michael Stewart book, it's available on Amazon, does have a capuchin monkey on the cover. Why?
Right.
Yeah.
Might explain it then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
On fire. Explain that.
Also, explain this. Explain this. Why was I laughing uncontrollably once again in this movie when the telephone got caught in the wheelchair and he couldn't move?
Right.
But that's a horrible thing to have happen right at that moment. And I could not stop laughing at that.
What, how many horsepower is that thing, man? It's pitiful.
Right.
Couldn't even pull one of those corded wires.
I was just laughing.
Coiled, wrapped. I'm sorry.
I don't think I was supposed to laugh.
You weren't, but I did the same thing. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, that just killed me.
Because it was. I think, for one thing, I don't think it was the fact that he got actually caught in it. I think that he was always trying to race the monkey, and he was always losing. Mm-hmm. Always.
The monkey's got speed, man.
Right.
Yeah. The story tries to make you understand that the monkey just gets some sort of super intelligence. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
So it can understand telephones and it knows who's who and what to do. And
more than that, like a thought thing, right? Because I mean, isn't there an instance where he's thinking something and the monkey does it, or is it?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I'm just saying that it only explains the intellect. It never explains the super strength of this freaking monkey.
You kidding me? Monkeys are strong.
Not like
I realize.
Not these
I'm sorry.
Ones.
I'm sorry though. If you're John Pankow and you're wrestling with a capuchin, you just rip its head off. Like there's no understanding.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to argue with that for just a minute because I've taken my cat, which is like not strong at all, but you try to hold a cat down when the doctor's giving it a shot. You can't break a cat's neck. You can't win against a cat. You can't. You cannot.
You're not trying. You're not trying to kill the cat.
I don't know, man. I don't think I can kill a cat. Cats are vicious.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's weird. The monkey, every time the monkey attacked, I just kept saying, I understand the guy in the wheelchair can't do much, okay? I get it. He can't even do the budgie. But the rest of you guys, upward mobility, you can grab that monkey, break its neck, chuck it against the wall, stab it, do something. He is not strong enough to huck you against a table and knock you out, which was what he did to that chick who had sunburn. Anyway, she had that kind of face.
The monkey doing, there were a lot of things that I just chalked up to crazy intellect that they don't explain. But there were certain things the monkey did physically that they don't explain, and it was bothersome to me.
Yeah, a little bit. How about a trope? Check this out. I love it when rain is so loud, nobody can hear a dude scream. Perfect timing. You got to yell and get some help. Rain's the rain. I can't hear you. It's the rain.
Thunder is shortcut for a horror movie cool, right?
Yeah, always. And do it at the right time, like right when you get artificial brain, monkey brain, or whatever the hell it was, injected into you. While you're sitting in your red room and then have the lightning start happening.
Right.
Yeah. That stuff, I'm not, that bothered me a little bit, but
it's like a scene out of the Deer Hunter with them doing drugs.
And any other tropes come to mind from you guys? Anything of, I don't know, that's worth
noting? Well, I definitely don't like I definitely didn't like the idea of the live human tissue. Like you could endow some kind of power from injecting anything with tissue.
Man, it was such a weird, such a weird thing too. It was like a little tiny brain, but it was labeled as a human brain.
Yeah,
right.
It looked like the front lobe. Or
did you all notice that it looked like a piece of chicken breast?
Well, it was. It was. It clearly was.
Right.
I was hoping nobody would say that because I have a pretty funny thing I learned at the end of the show. But don't worry about it. Right. No, it was. It was clearly a piece of frozen chicken, and he would scrape off the chicken. And I'm thinking, if you know what the truth is, it would be the same. Mm-hmm. You're not going to do any different. You could just shave it off a chicken and say you're filling it with the thing and just tell Stephen Root to F off. I'm working on it. I got my monkeys, my injections. No one, nothing's happening yet. You don't need to know why. Because it's chicken. It never looked like a brain. Not once. At the beginning, right. They made it try to look kind of lumpy. I'm like, that ain't no human brain.
Why does it had to be brain when he carried in that big canister that was facing directly towards us that said live human tissue?
So I got a trope that bugs me.
Hold on. Here you go.
She wasn't really that interested in you until you made a pass at her, and then she just needed a moment to think about it. And the next thing you know, she is grinding her lady parts into your mouth.
Louise.
She's unbuttoning the blouse
like that. That was sound from that. Sorry, go ahead.
But I'm serious. That's exactly what happened. He goes over to her place. She puts him up in this weird laboratory that she's going to stay in. And it's like it's been totally cool. But he goes and tries to kiss her neck or something because that's all he can do is lean toward your neck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she goes, whoa, that's not – I'm not going to put up with that kind of – and then I'm going to stand here for a minute. And the next thing you know, I'm taking my blouse off.
Yeah.
That's not very like sanitary.
Okay, yeah, sure. That's cool.
Yeah, not very sanitary.
Then all I can see is his mom giving him a sponge bath the whole time. It's like, ah. Yeah.
Like, that, I'm sorry, but women don't work that way.
Yeah.
They just don't.
Yeah. Randy's tried.
Yeah. It's just weird. It was a weird scene because the result of it all, the result of him making that pass at her is girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm fine with them having, what am I trying to say here? I'm fine with the relationship evolving and becoming something else and she sees more in him and whatever. That all makes sense. It's just the steps. It's like you went from, I accidentally, for all we know, we didn't even mean to. He's like, oh, sorry, I bumped into your neck there. It wasn't very convincing. And the very next second, she's like, that's it. Button, unbutton, zip, 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 bam, boom, up in the stratosphere up here.
Oops, my face fell on your crutch. Oops.
Yeah, since you're a quadriplegic, all I can do is make use of your mouth. So let me put this in it, and I'm going to
I'm done, mister.
Yeah.
And all that said, this is almost a trope. It happens commonly in movies. I don't know if it's explained as well here. Jenny from Around the Walk. No. Mm-hmm. Jenny from Forrest Gump has kind of the pity sex. And that's what I consider this. It's like it's that's what I was thinking the whole time. I'm like, don't pity boob me. Mm-hmm. All right, I'll take the pity boob. So
I can smile them.
That's all I'm saying. All right. So that was a thing. Anything else that's we haven't talked about before we clip it.
All I got to say is the drug addict monkey, whenever homeboy was shooting up.
Jones in it, man.
Anytime he was shooting up needles, those were the dullest, worst needles ever because they were going in hard.
Yep, and I kept wanting them. You remember when he freaked out and was slamming down that metal thing? I kept thinking, here we go, finally. Someone's going to lose a hand. Nope.
Mm-hmm. No.
Nope.
We all laugh.
The best weapon right there, and just decide. Oh, I'm just going to bang this thing.
You guys, so cute. You guys, a little bit disturbed when his mom was beating the crap out of him when he was in the bed.
Oh yeah,
beating him in the head.
You mean
the only place you could?
You mean this?
I thought that was a sex scene.
No. Not quite. All right. Well, let's play some clips. Here is an example. Once again, another movie with some pretty bad music. And here he is jogging, and here's some of that horrible, horrible music. It's like a Jane Austen.
Is he jogging in a covered wagon across Oklahoma?
Pa! I think the goat died, Pa! Yeah, exactly. By the way, that was my... My Michael Landon show. What's that called? Yeah, Little House on the Prairie impression. Yeah. That was it. Doctor comes in to work on him. What's this? I don't remember this.
Is Monkey. He out? Oh.
Yep.
Good. Now we can talk about him.
Oh, I know what it was. It's Tucci being a douche. Hold on. Let me play. Let me play one more time.
Is he out?
Yep.
Good. Now we can talk about him. Oh, my God, Martha, his ass is even hairier than yours.
Yeah. I don't like the trope of doctors talk smack while you're out.
Because you don't want that to happen to you.
You're absolutely correct.
And once again, this goes back to the Stephen King vulnerable part of a horror movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable. So then I kept this.
His ass is even hairier than yours.
I'm going to keep that forever.
Frightening depiction, and by depiction I mean they just filmed some dude getting cut on with the, you know, the scalpel in the back.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Hard to watch.
Yeah, and it looked good. I mean, they had that weird plastic antibacterial thing on there, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Makes you look like a chicken.
Yeah, that was gross.
Right.
I don't ever want back surgery. He's just going to say it out loud. Here's an awkward line in the film.
Hey, save some for the old man, will you?
See?
Oh, Ira, you're so weird.
I love John Pang. I mean, he was great and Mad About You. And if you have not seen Episodes, which is currently on Showtime, it's hilarious.
I hear that show is good.
It's so good. And Matt LeBlanc plays the worst ever version of Matt LeBlanc you'd ever want to see.
It's supposed to be playing himself, right?
He's playing himself. He's playing a very chauvinistic, depressing loser version of himself. Like,
I've heard good things about that.
It's really good. Yeah, and John Pankow plays the studio director who greenlights and doesn't greenlight TV shows, and he's great.
By the way, if you want to see something weird, you just reminded me of this. So I've been watching Louie, and on Louie, he's got this friend who's got the kid, and he's always meeting her at the park. She's played by, I forget her name, but she's funny and whatever. And she's been on that Californication show, and she's been naked a whole bunch. I found out by complete accident she's the voice of Bobby on freaking King of the Hill.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Isn't that weird? It's always weird when I find stuff like that in Hollywood. Anyway, so there's that. What else? Oh, the mother. Here's the mother being the mom, and she drove me crazy. So here she is.
Oh, look. There you are with a little Palmer children.
Patterson.
What?
Patterson, mother. Their name was Patterson.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Let's kick her across the room.
Hey, you know what we should do? Let's watch films when you could walk.
Yeah, that'll make you feel better. That's a good point, Brian. Why was she making him sit and watch that?
You should do that more. Oh,
that's right.
Remember when you could do...
This lady's from a bunch of old Romero. She's like a perennial. She's in all his movies.
She is.
And that explains the acting. Let's see. Look, Halloween. What?
Look, Halloween.
That's from the same thing.
Look, Halloween.
Yeah, he wanted to be Robbie the Robot, and his stupid mom made him be some kind of... weird skeleton blood thing.
I'm sensing a great Chemical Brothers remix that just uses that clip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, I felt that too.
That's pretty funny. Steven Root, here's his little creepy introduction, little conversation with Steven Root.
Unfortunately for you, I happen to be the head of this department.
Why don't you just fire me then?
Huh? I don't want to fire you, Jeffrey. I just want to get you to produce.
You can't do it, can you?
So... is he a chick in the bucket? Because he didn't ever show up again.
Yeah, sure he did. He showed up a couple of times.
Well, he did, but they never resolved it.
Never resolved, yeah.
No, eventually, yeah.
And we never saw him after the red light drug scene, did we?
Yeah, because
Ira, turn on your red light.
I always thought the monkey would go find him for some reason. Because remember, that guy went ahead and injected himself and sent the monkey off on a trip.
Right.
So
yeah, I never understood why he injected himself. Like, what that connection was.
There wasn't one.
Was he trying to develop telekinetic powers with the monkey, or
well, once he figured it out, he wanted to see if it was true. Yeah,
right.
But
oh no, he was shooting himself up way before he even gave the monkey to Alan.
He did.
I thought he was shooting himself at the beginning.
Oh, I thought he did it later.
I thought it was a different chemical. I thought he was doing the monkey chemical.
I was just bothered as could be by the condition of those laboratories. Like, I worked in a chemistry lab for years, and the idea of all of this stuff sitting out in trash on top of the fridge, and you got the same fridge for your compounds and for your lunch.
You got your Bob, like, Evans.
I've never
Carl's
worked
Junior
in a,
bags in there.
I've never worked in an actual lab where if a monkey came flying across the place, things would break and cause these bubbling chemical reactions.
It's right. Just not, back to frogs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Steven Root does not keep a clean lab. Here's angry swear plus eight.
Eight!
There you go.
That's right before he tries to kill himself.
Well, he couldn't get the numbers right for his voice activated right. House or whatever.
Right.
And six, seven.
Two. Ah, and they went
eight.
There you go. What's her? I wrote this. I put what's her name. I don't remember what this is. So let's just play it.
What's her name?
Number six.
Number six. Well, that's a shit name.
Trisha Helfer.
That was great.
That's a shit name.
I'm going to capture that out. Right.
Well, that's a shit name.
I'll just use that one. That was the name of the bird?
No, that was the name of the monkey.
The monkey was Ella's name.
Yeah. That's
or,
right.
Her nickname Sixer.
They renamed it Ella. Ella. Right. Ella. A. A. Yeah. Here's your angry acting. Always like to capture that out. Let's see if we can get somebody all pissed while they're trying to act. Here you go.
Jeffrey, son of a bitch, what the hell are you doing to her?
Oh, man.
We're
so
really
much angry not- acting in this movie.
Yeah.
So much.
I get a question, because it looked like at points he had fangs, like Alan actually had fangs. Was that, did he get fangs like whenever he was having the connection with the monkey? Because I noticed other times it looked like he didn't have them.
Oh,
or was it just a weird positioning of the camera?
I think they just focused on his teeth. They're just
I wonder now that you say that, though. Weren't there a couple of lingering shots? Yeah. There's a shot of his mouth where he's going, and he bites his lip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no.
Those were more fangy than the other shots.
That's what I thought.
I think Gibbet's onto something.
I looked later in the film and didn't see fangs.
Throughout the film, he has a gap between his lower teeth big enough to put your finger in.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You people really watching this teeth in close. I did not know it was a bunch of sparring dentists.
Yeah, it's like a dental.
It's dental sack.
Dental sack. That sounds worse than it is.
It really does.
Dental sack.
Gave her the old dental sack that she was strapped up in the machine in the ceiling.
Old. Let's see. Unnatural you and that monkey. Oh, that's a great line.
It's unnatural you and that monkey.
I like the maid.
Oh, she's pissy.
Like she said, listen to her.
She's so over the top.
Here's where she's really pissed.
Filthy, sneaky little beast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then this is where it gets the worst, though. This is where she tops it off. This is her big acting moment. This is Oscar-worthy performance right here.
You killed my bogey!
Was bogey the name of the budgie?
No, that was her cigarette.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah.
And George Romero's wife, right?
Really?
Bogey is the name of George Romero's wife?
Or no, the actress is married to George Romero.
Oh. Yeah.
I want you to be in my picture, see? You can be bird-keeping lady man.
So when she says you killed my bogey, what is she saying?
It's the one of the bird.
Bogey was the name of the bird.
That was the name of the bird.
She explains that she loved Casablanca. And
that came out of nowhere. This is like, Brandy, you were just saying about reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were just talking. And she turns around. She's talking to his mom going, oh, I freaking hate that bird. And then all of a sudden.
You killed my bogey!
I was like, holy shit, lady. good stuff. Best slap in the film? This is a long one, but it's worth
multiple
it.
Multiple slaps.
Check this one out.
Your life is nothing but an empty, greedy, black hole. You've been trying to suck me into it for as long as I can remember. Well, I cannot stand it anymore, Mother. I cannot stand your bullshit. You're a conniving, clinging, blood-sucking bitch.
Yeah. Okay,
so the thing to remember here, because there's a lot of angry acting in this film, the thing to remember here is that he's been apart from the monkey for a couple of days, and he's totally cool. But the monkey's back and is in the attic. The monkey's come back to the house.
Yep.
And its effect on him, like telepathic effect, is to make him all angry again. And if you don't get that, this film is just wrong.
Right.
It's just bad. But, like, why is he yelling at his mother?
Yeah.
You know? But he says it in the film. He says, the monkey's back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But wasn't the deal that the further the monkey got away, this is what you're saying. Yeah. He got better when it was away, and now it's in the attic. He's freaking out again.
I'm just saying you have to catch that. Like, you miss that, and this movie makes no sense.
Yeah, that's an important thing, and they don't really do a very good job of explaining it, I don't think.
I thought they mentioned it three different times.
Yeah, he's like, oh, the monkey's back within a block radius. Everybody get out of here before
my
I go ace shit.
Our tangling.
But he would revert so much. Like even right after he yelled that and they had their little slap fight, which is this again. She's beating the poop out of him. She's making bread or whatever. But when that happens, and then he immediately goes, "Mother, please come back!" You know, he's switching sides all the time. And
well, yeah, he's like fighting the anger urge, the rage.
Yeah,
the rage.
Let's see, there's a couple more here. Mother, close your door. Oh yeah, that's great.
Mother, close your door.
I just like that.
I love the way he says it too. Yeah.
And then the final line I will play for you again is what's his guy's name from Mad About You again? I forget his
John
name.
Pankow.
That's the guy. He's talking about how much of a dose he gave the thing, and this is or the dose the monkey gave him, and he's acting like the most drunk. Apparently, shaving chicken off and calling it a brain makes you drunk.
No. This is a dose of poison.
Oh, I know, but
he's come to kill the monkey.
But listen how he's talking is what I'm saying. So listen to this.
Put enough in there to bring down King Kong.
He's acting like a drunk frat boy.
Yeah.
And that's when he's
still alone there for a second there, too.
Then that's when he's full of the serum or whatever it is.
Yeah, he's dying.
It's in his back.
I love the fact that he thought he was almost to the hospital, that he could walk to the hospital. Like he was on. That's what you think when you're drugged. It's like, I can make it.
You're in the living room, dude. I can make it.
I also like how
the guy's car, that's the chicken in the bucket, is his car sitting out in the front of Alan's house with its door open because you can't close. People just walk by. Oh, look, there's a thermos. I'll take the thermos.
Chicken in the bucket. We're doing this every week. Chicken in the bucket. Mm-hmm. I'm digging it. But it's just like the monkey had the articulation to be riding around in the room and stab that in his back and then push in the what do you call it on the back plunger. Of the syringe, the plunger, and get that stuff all up and in him. And then when the lady's laying there, immovable, not fighting back, right. Monkey can't do anything but just sort of poke at it.
Monkey can't do it.
And wait for him to get some feeling back in his hand. Oh, that was weird. You know what I'm a big fan of, though? I've talked about it on the show. I like discordant music use. So
yes.
When you have a movie where, or you have like a post-apocalyptic scene, but some record player somewhere is playing, you know, Sinatra in the background quietly as if it's the perfect world we're living in. And yet I love that contrast. So, and this movie had
BioShock is fantastic with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. BioShock also, the Fallout 3 game is like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In fact, I think the original trailer was all that. But I love that. And they did that good in here. It was good use. I'm a sucker for it.
That's
a
trope, but I like music it. In this film.
Yeah, I agree. It's pretty bad. Scott Fletcher might say something like this.
You killed my boogie.
My boogie?
Boogie.
Oh, I get that wrong.
Boogie,
That's our clips. That means time for awards. And they go a bit like this. These are awards this film has garnered from the commission to reward shit. Number one, best way to get a monkey hair in your pita sandwich is to let the monkey make it award. Well. That's all I can think about. We only need this nurse now to change his poopy diapers award, clearly. And the dude, your beard is longer than your red hair or your head hair award because of this film.
Good point.
It's weird.
So weird.
Yeah, it was a bad choice.
Wow, I didn't even think about that, but it's so right.
Steven Root is our Star Trek connection. He played Captain Kavada on a TNG episode, which I do not remember, but would love to go back and see that. Good to see
Steven Root will do anything.
He will, won't he? Mm-hmm. I love
him. He does it well. He does it well, but he will do anything.
I hope when he dies, he gets a special scene at the very end of the Rest in Peace segment of the Oscars. And like, it's him sitting on the beach at the end of Office Space.
Oh, that'd be great.
I asked for salt in my margarita, and there's no salt in this margarita.
That's what I want.
Yeah, we're going to have to move you to the basement.
I believe you have my stapler.
Soundtrack great. I'd give it an ASS for after school special.
Okay, then.
Had that sound.
You know what that spells?
No. Ass. here's what I... Oh, no, we're not doing that yet. Let's do the Twitter post. This is where you guys do 140 characters or less commentary on what you think about the film. Let's start this time with, I don't know, Randy?
Monkey Shines, a surprisingly personal drama about a perfectly able man and woman who are somehow incapable of walking out of their house when the monkey sets it on fire.
I'm with you there. Dunaway.
Monkey Shines is not the movie Misery by Stephen King. I always think it is. But then I remember Kathy Bates is not a helper monkey. Helper monkey will get that blood for you.
Right off your face. Right off your lower lip.
Nice. Then Ibbot.
Monkey Shines, an entire film featuring a monkey where feces is not thrown. Not even once.
Wow, I'm surprised that didn't happen.
But the monkey does pee on him.
Yeah, he pees on him.
I was hoping you captured that.
You son of a... I can't remember what he said, but he was pretty mad.
He was pissed on and pissed off.
Pissed on and pissed off. Well, here's what I learned while you injected yourself and half a dozen monkeys with chicken breast shavings. When you get really hurt in a movie, the first thing you want to do is grow a ridiculous beard. Number
glue
two.
On a ridiculous beard.
Glue on, yeah.
And nobody even come pick them up from the hospital.
Dude, it's so lame.
I had to have the orderly drive him home.
Who's going to pick up Alan? Oh, damn it.
Shoot, we're having this party and we forgot. It's nice to know voice recognition also sucked in 1988.
Oh, yeah.
They need to overlay that with the new Celebrity Siri commercials.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Number seven, I'm sorry. Ba-boom. I'm sorry, Dave, whatever he says. Yeah. I'm turning it into Space Odyssey. All right, moving on. Were nurses in 1988 still wearing those stupid hats? Remember the Tucci Hospital?
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm.
Oh, they still are now.
What? Where? Who does that? They're all big ladies in scrubs now. That's all I ever say.
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong, really? I don't think in the States we do that anymore. And then finally, never trust a monkey named Ella. Ella.
Ella.
Ella.
Ella.
Ella.
Ella. Ella. I hate that song. Okay. So much.
We can't help it.
But I love emails, and I got one here from Scott H., who says, "Hey, Sackers, sincere word of thanks for your excellent show. I have a lengthy commute to a very stressful job working with emotionally disturbed kids, and some days getting a good laugh out of an episode is the only thing that helps me keep going in the morning or decompress on the way home so I can spend quality time with my own family. Keep it up, Scott H.!
Okay. Right.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, very
okay,
nice,
we
right?
will.
Yeah, we'll do it again.
Because you asked so nicely.
Yeah.
We'll go ahead. So is Karate Kid, the next film, still safe? Is it not expiring?
Why,
find
yes,
out?
Karate Kid. Thank you.
All right. So Karate Kid is happening.
Watching that next week?
The original.
Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what it's about for you?
It is for Brian.
That's what it's about for me. Yeah.
For Dunaway, it's about that blonde-haired dude on the beach that picks on Daniel. It's about that guy. For me,
sleep
it's about
like Johnny.
For me, it's about the stereotypic evil coach that coaches that kid. I like that guy.
I think there's some surprises waiting for
us. Very fond of this film as a kid. When I saw it, I loved it. I thought it was the greatest thing ever. I stood up and cheered when he did the thing at the end.
You stood up and cheered.
I have no idea how this holds up, though. I really like the new one.
I took my drum thingy that you do with your hands, except that's part two.
I don't even remember any of the sequels, really. But I loved the first one, and I remember really liking it. And I really like this remake, the Jackie Chan thing. I thought was great.
Right.
My favorite.
No idea what to expect.
My favorite may be the next Karate Kid.
Two?
I'm sorry to say. No. The fourth one?
What, the one with the girl?
Yeah.
With what's her name?
Hillary Swank.
Hillary Swank. Yeah. Really?
Maybe my favorite.
Wow.
I'm not ashamed to say. We got some other really interesting films coming up after Karate Kid. We got Hardware. We're going to watch Empire of the Ants.
Yes.
We're going to watch Rocky V.
Yes.
It's going to get to be October, and we're going to watch Children of the Corn, Child's Play.
Yeah. Finally, Chucky. On the show. We've been waiting for that for a while. Dude, what is it? World of the what? Ants? What was it?
Empire of the Ants.
I cannot wait for that. Is this about killer ants?
Yeah.
Giant ants, right?
Something like that.
Oh, I'm so in.
Is it Indiana Jones? Wait, what?
What? Bad days.
Crystal Skull?
Bad days.
What?
Bad days.
Crystal Skull?
Actually, it had to be snakes. I don't know what I'm doing. So that's coming up. All those are great. Those all sound like a lot of fun. So watch for that coming up soon. And again, Karate Kid next week. So time to look at a classic from the 80s, see how it holds up. Can't wait to do that. In the meantime, visit us on the web, filmsack.com. You can also email us, filmsack@gmail.com. We do love your feedback. You can follow us on Twitter @filmsack. And as always, if you'd leave us a review on iTunes, we'd love it. For more great shows just like this one, go to frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Ran. We'll see you next time.
See, because he's quadriplegic, he can't tap out. See? That's okay.
I don't want to fire you, Jeffrey. I just want you to produce. You killed my boogie.
I
Well, that's a shit name.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.